There are very three important choices each of us make in life. The first is who your master will be. The second is the mission of your life. And thirdly, if God so leads, your mate. I mentioned that that's not original with me, but I heard that in a chapel service in my alma mater. People choose affiliations. They choose who they will associate with today upon factors that are not essential. We sometimes choose based upon convenience. And I'm not just talking about the choice of a mate alone here. I'm talking about all kinds of affiliations, our friends, our church, and so forth. We choose based upon factors that are not essential. But there are some factors that are essential, things we cannot compromise on, things that we cannot neglect, that we must know. And I think we see those, I believe we see those in Genesis chapter 24, in Abraham seeking out a wife for his son Isaac. So would you please turn there to Genesis chapter 24, because here the Bible relates in detail the care that Abraham took to get a wife for his son Isaac. And so we see here essential factors in your choice of affiliations. Here it's the choice of a mate. But I believe we can make broader application and say that this also applies to us in those with whom we choose to affiliate with in our lives. We saw last week, since this was for Valentine's, where we looked at the predetermined standards that Abraham had as he sent out his servant to seek a wife. We see that the author of the standard was Isaac's father, his authority. And we see the absolutes of the standard. There were two things that Abraham firmly instructed his servant to ensure regarding the wife for Isaac. She must be, number one, submitted to the same master. She must be submitted to the same master. You'll note in verse 3, he emphasizes, she is not to be of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, because this would be an unequal yoke, and this unequal yoke would affect Isaac's relationship with his master. Abraham knew that this girl must be properly reared and instructed. She must be of the same kindred and family. She had to be a girl, verse 4, of my country, my kindred, and from there take a wife unto my son Isaac. The broader application here is this. Unequally yoking ourselves together applies in all areas of our lives. It applies to your church affiliation. It applies to so many things. And we're going to see here in a moment how far Abraham's servant goes to get a wife for his son. And so I want to make this point. Location is not near as important as foundation. Location may be convenient. And let me just right here say this. Some of you drive a good ways to come to church. And I trust that you're finding that location is secondary to foundation. The standard was she had to be submitted to the same master. Secondly, she had to be submitted to the same mission. I'm not reading verses 1 through 9 right now. We read those last week. But Abraham would not allow his servant to take Isaac back to his homeland. She had to submit to come to the land where God had called Isaac. At least three times, Abraham emphasizes, do not take my son back there. The servant even said, well, what if she doesn't come with me? Abraham reemphasizes, then do not take my son back there. You are out of the oath if she does not come with you. But whatever you do, don't take my son there. And we would say, what's wrong with Isaac? Is he a wimp? Is he so wimpy emotionally that he could get caught up there? And the answer is, Yes, just like each one of us. Our emotions can get control of us and we can be put in a compromising situation that we would not have gotten into, that we should not have gotten into. Even as one who here is in covenant with God, you can put yourself in a compromising situation where you will do the wrong thing. I can put myself in a situation like that just as much as you can. And that's why the Bible talks about Job, a man who eschewed evil. That word eschew, I've said this before, has to do with leaning away from. So here's a 500-foot drop. If you're on a 500-foot drop, how would you walk on that? Would you go like this? I tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be like this. That is the word eschew. I'm leaning away from it. But what we typically do, we're like this. Putting ourselves in a compromising situation. I could see myself walking on this I-beam between the World Trade Centers when they still stood. How wide would you want that I-beam to be if you walked it? Listen, I'd want a highway. But you know, if I put that thing on this platform, I could probably straddle it about that wide, and I could make it across. But to put that up on top of the World Trade Centers would have put myself in a compromising situation. And that's what Christians are doing all the time, is putting themselves, placing themselves intently on into a compromising situation. And Abraham was not going to put his son there. Do not allow him to go. Every person must consider the mission of the person they affiliate themselves with. And this is most important in marriage. And I know I'm talking to a bunch of married people, but there are some singles. And there are some who have children who are going to be married and grandchildren. This affects everybody. Every person must consider the mission of the church you attend. If it's not the same, first of all, find out if your mission is correct, and if their mission is correct. And if their mission is correct, biblically, then repent and get right. But if it's not the same, do not affiliate. Make up your mind ahead of time regarding the same master and the same mission, and notice the order. If I have the right master, I will have the right mission. And do that before the emotions overrule. Because people today fall into love, they say. So the first essential factor in your choice of affiliation is predetermined standards. Here's the second one. The second essential factor in your choice of affiliation is praying for God to lead you. Prayer to God to lead you. Let's read verses 10 through 14 of this chapter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now, you're going to read later on in this chapter that he was praying this in his heart. This was not with his mouth outwardly. He was praying this in his heart. So as he's walking there, he is praying this prayer. Praying for God to lead. Folks, we need that on a daily basis. Prayer that God would lead us. How far did this servant travel? As near as we can tell, he traveled at least 500 miles. He did not get on a jet plane and fly. This is about the same distance as Greeley to Hutchinson, Kansas, where I was born. 500 miles. I can't imagine walking that. Let's say that he was able to walk 20 miles a day. It would take him 25 days to get there. This is not convenient, folks. This is not convenient. And the point here is this. Sometimes God's leading is inconvenient. Too often we Christians decide that God is leading us based upon what is convenient. Well, they're going to give me a pay raise. Well, that's convenient, so it's got to be God's will. The church is right next door. Well, that's convenient, so it's got to be God's will. And we decide so many things upon convenience. The servant prayed, but notice, he then acted. He did not sit back and wait for God to bring her to him. He had assurance that God would be with him. Note what is said back in verse 7, the last part of verse 7. He shall send his angel before thee. Now, think about it. On his way to Mesopotamia, traveling 500 miles on foot, do you think he met some other single girls along the way? I mean, sometimes we got to think about what's happening. I'm sure he met a lot of single girls, but none were candidates. How did he know? He might have met some sharp girls, but none were candidates. Why? The standards have been predetermined. Remember? And that's why number one is so important. That's why when Abraham told his servant, these are the standards, that's important for you to have standards before you ever choose affiliations. And not make up your mind when the time comes and go, well, hey, this looks good. Wait, if you had predetermined standards, you can say, you know what? This looks good, but this does not meet the standards. How often do we make up our minds ahead of time? Like Daniel in Daniel chapter 1, purposed in his heart that he would not eat and drink of the king's meat and drink. He had made up his mind ahead of time, and that's why Daniel was such a great man. One of the reasons. He made up his mind ahead of time. Could not be distracted. Note verse 14. She that thou hast appointed. The servant is praying for the woman that God has appointed. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that God has appointed someone? I find today that young people think, well, you know, there's a large pool of possible mates. Any one of those could be God's will for me. That's true. But remember this, there is only one. He's in the right country now. But now, which of Abraham's kindred? There's many of his kindred. Look again at that word appointed. She that thou hast appointed there in verse 14. That word appointed has the idea of what an umpire does. So I can put it this way. Are you willing to let God make the call? In fact, Paul uses the Greek translation of this Hebrew word in 1 Timothy 2:5. It's translated this way. Mediator. One who understands both parties and brings them together. So are you willing to recognize that God understands you and the one he has appointed and to bring you two together as the mediator? I believe God has a perfect will for every Christian's life. Moreover, that same verb is used in Isaiah 1:18. Where it says, come now and let us reason together. You'll notice in his prayer that he doesn't just pray for his trip or for his safety, but his prayer is this, to do according to what Abraham had said, show kindness unto my master Abraham. He didn't pray for safety. And there's some things we don't have to pray about. Those things that God has already revealed to us in his word. And the servant had the word of Abraham. He didn't have to pray to the Lord. Now, Lord, should I get a girl from my master's kindred? That's already been predetermined. And you don't have to pray, Lord, should I go to this church that denies the inspiration of the Bible? Lord, should I go to this church that denies the virgin birth? Should I go? You don't even need to pray about it. It's not an issue. He prayed specifically in verse 14. And notice that the condition for this girl is not her beauty, it's her service. And y'all notice how many camels are involved. Later on. The third essential factor in your choice of affiliation is not just prayer to God to lead, but faith in God to lead. Let's read verses 15 to 27. You're saying, wow, we're reading a lot of verses. Yeah, sometimes I hear messages and sometimes I even preach messages where there's not a lot of Bible reading, and I like to read the Bible. I think it's important that we get what the Bible is saying. So let's read verses 15 to 27. Keep your attention and concentration here on God's word. And it came to pass before he had done speaking. I love that. That behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon. Isn't it interesting that a girl who is a great servant is also good looking? And all of a sudden, he gets more than he asked for. A virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. The third essential factor in your choice of affiliation is faith in God to lead. You have predetermined standards. You're praying for God to lead. Now you trust Him to do exactly. You know, you can pray and not have faith. You can pray and mouth the words and not believe what you're praying. But God answers this prayer specifically. Or verse 15 reminds us of Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Have you ever planned on praying for something and God answered it before you prayed? That's happened to me many times. God did above all that he asked or even thought, for the one who did this for him was also very fair. That's King James language, folks, for very beautiful. In appreciation for her service, we see what he does in verse 22. Then the all-important question comes in verse 23, and he finds out this is Isaac's second cousin. And immediately he acknowledges that the Lord in verse 26, he acknowledges the Lord in verse 26 with blessing in verse 27. And I note that he says this in verse 27, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Now we could read that this way. We could read verse 27 and follow with me. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. The Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. But he includes that phrase, I, being in the way. When I was just a little boy, and I would go out on the farm to work with my dad in the shop, I had 5 brothers too. 6 of us boys gathered around dad as he'd be working in the shop. And he's working in the shop, trying to get from one place to the next. And he was always asking us, would you run get such and such? Well, here on the farm, if he needed something, he would say, would you go get such and such? And I always loved to run. And if he asked for some kind of a tool that came out of the goose barn, I would run to the goose barn and get that. He might ask one of my other brothers, I need you to go get this. And we'd all stand around watching him work, ready to help. But there were some times he'd be moving about so quickly that he'd almost stumble over us. And he would say, you're in my road. I always stuck with, you're in my road. The word way here is the word road. And the servant said, I being in the road. But he's not saying what my dad meant to us. You're an obstruction. You need to watch out where I'm walking because I've got to get my things done. What the servant here is saying is this. I was on the road that was the right road. I was doing what I was supposed to do. I being in the way, the Lord led me. Now, folks, there's a tremendous principle here. Because God leads us when we are already willing to walk the right road. Here's what we sometimes do. We start walking the opposite direction we know is right, and we expect God to lead us. No, that's not being in the way the Lord led me. Being in the way where the Lord leads us is doing what we already know is right. He is doing what his master has told him to do. He has prayed for God's leading, and now he is walking on the right path. Simply put, he put himself on the right road, walked on it, and God led him. There's a tremendous principle here for God's leading in our lives because sometimes we don't know, what does God want me to do? I don't know what he wants us to do next week or next month or next year. Here's a good principle. Get on the right road today. You do what's right today on a daily basis. And you'll be able to, 1 year from now, look back and say, I being in the way, the Lord led me. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in his way. In all thy ways, it says in Proverbs 3:6, acknowledge him and he'll direct thy paths. Henry Morris, in his book, The Genesis Record, says this, the Lord leads along the path a step at a time. But before he can lead us along the path, we must be on the path. We must be on the path. And you can't ignore the other end of faith. Think of Rebecca's perspective. She may have been thinking, you know what, I'm never going to get married. There's no one out there. I thought about this when I was 27, 28, 29. 30, there's no one out there. 31, you know the rest of the story. That I'll never get married. And yet God sent someone to Rebecca 500 miles. Think about it from her perspective. 500 miles. That's the third essential factor in your choice of affiliation, faith in God to lead. Now, number four, the fourth essential factor in your choice of affiliation is honesty to the family. And now this applies more to the acquiring of a mate. Let's read verses 28 to 49. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house of these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus the man spake unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was meat set before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites. Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, and she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels, let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she gave the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him, and I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Note the honesty to the family. He's not beating around the bush as to his purpose. The girl had heard the word Abraham in his prayer. In verse 33, we see that the servant was on a mission and would not rest until that mission was accomplished. He did not go on this trip to be dined and doted upon. He went on this trip to accomplish his master's business. There's a lot of application there. What God has sent us to do is to accomplish his business. Verse 49, in fact, he was ready to immediately move on if this was not the right girl, and he hasn't eaten yet. I imagine the spread that they had was probably pretty good, having come the distance he had come. I get hungry driving in a car. Driving 50 miles. And if somebody would stop and say, Hey, stop at this restaurant, we've got such and such, I'd stop. This guy would not eat until he had accomplished his master's business. And he was honest to the family, saying, This is why I'm here. So that's the fourth essential factor, is honesty to the family. The fifth essential factor is the blessing of the family. Note verses 50 to 57. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee good or bad. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother's and to her mother precious things. But they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. He is seeking the blessing of the family. Those responsible for giving her in marriage are the first to give permission. And note in verses 54 and 55 that the mother and brother naturally want time for preparations and a send-off. Can you understand that? I can understand that. But the servant says, since it is right what is happening here, since this is God's will, do not delay. He, the servant, knowing this gives opportunity for the flesh and a change of mind. And so another test is put forth for the girl. Will she go immediately? And that brings us to the sixth essential factor in the choice of affiliation. And we see the agreement of the girl. Let's read verses 58 to 61. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Note, she's the one being pursued. I find it interesting today that many girls are doing the pursuing. To me, that smacks of the strange woman in Proverbs. You'll notice in verse 58, she was ready. Had she ever met Isaac? She too must walk by faith. And she left her family. She left her family. Folks, a lot of problems could be resolved if the bride would leave the family. Brings us to the last and the seventh essential factor in your choice of affiliation, and that's the mutual acceptance of the couple. Let's read verses 62 to 67. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. You see in verse 63 that Isaac sees the camels coming. More people are coming than left. Isaac, in verse 66, was convinced of God's leading. Note, it says he took Rebekah. Isaac simply accepted what his father's servant chose for him. Not even his father, but what his father's servant by delegation chose for him. And Rebekah became his wife. Folks, marriage is a covenant to be lifelong companions. And you can make this covenant with a person you are in love with or with a person you are not yet in love with. You see, you choose to love whom you will love. That's why we have to be commanded by God that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. It doesn't come naturally. We have to be commanded to do that. So this brings up an interesting question that I heard posited before. Could two Christians dedicated to the Lord meet at the marriage altar, make a covenant before God to be lifelong companions, and have a biblical marriage? You'd say, whoa. Could two dedicated Christians, a man and a woman, having never met before, come into this church? I'm not advocating this, please. Come into this church, meet each other right down here, and make a covenant before God to be lifelong companions? Would that be possible? Yes. He loved Rebekah. That was a choice he made. He married her, then he chose to love her. The Bible commands us to love, whether or not we are in love. Does this strike you odd? Husbands are commanded to love your wives in Ephesians 5:25, Ephesians 5:28, so ought men to love their wives. Ephesians 5:33, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives. Wives are commanded in Titus 2:4, the older women were commanded to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands. And the tragedy is sometimes we choose to fall out of love. We choose to cease loving. Isaac was comforted. Henry Moore says this, a man who truly loves and honors his father and mother will, when the time comes for marriage, likewise love and honor his wife. And you find somebody who truly loves and honors their father and their mother? And that's a good indication of how they're going to treat the spouse. Folks, for our everyday lives, we need to learn from Abraham the essential factors in choosing our affiliations. Predetermined standards. Prayer for God to lead. Then faith in God to lead. And we learn here that God leads those who are in the way. He leads those who are on the right road. And the wider application is this. It's not just we can make the application for every area of our life. Not just for marriage. For those with whom we choose to affiliate. Would you bow your heads? Thinking about this message this morning, are you allowing God to lead you in your affiliation?